Would you open your Bibles to Deuteronomy? See, Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, Deuteronomy, the fifth book of Moses. Towards the end, chapter 28, I want to highlight on this call to memory, because we so easily forget as Americans. So just looking at a couple sections, Deuteronomy 28, 1 through 6, and then 15 through 19. This is a clear Old Testament teaching on blessings and curses. We are told this: if you fully obey the Lord your God and carefully follow all of his commandments I give you today, Moses is saying, the Lord your God will set you high above the nations on the earth. And these blessings will come on you and accompany you if you obey the Lord your God. You will be blessed in the city and blessed in the country. The fruit of your womb will be blessed, and the crops and young of your livestock will be blessed. The calves of your herds and the lambs of your flock. Your basket and kneading trough will be blessed, and you will be blessed when you come in and blessed when you go out. But verse 15 says, however, if you do not obey the Lord your God and do not carefully follow all of his commands and decrees I'm giving you today, all of these curses will come on you and overtake you. You will be cursed in the city and cursed in the country. Your basket and your kneading trough will be cursed. The fruit of your womb will be cursed, and the crops of your land, as well as the calves of your herds and the lambs of your flocks. You will be cursed when you come in and cursed when you go out. Let's pray. Father in heaven, again, thank you for a beautiful Memorial Day weekend. We are so grateful for all the freedoms that we enjoy in our country as Americans. And thank you for this call to remember. To remember those who have fallen on fields of battle, to remember those who have gone before us in the faith and who have meant so much to us, and of course, remembering you and your word, the blessings and curses that are contained in your word as we obey or disobey. And so, Lord, we pray for spiritual eyes that see and spiritual ears that hear everything you want to say to our hearts this morning through Jesus Christ, our Savior and Lord, saying, amen. So, you may not know, but Memorial Day has only officially been a federal holiday on the last Monday of each May since 1971. Now, obviously, it's been celebrated in one form or another for much longer than that. In fact, the custom of decorating graves of fallen soldiers is an ancient one, and decorating graves in the United States has been happening since way before even the Civil War. Actually, the history behind it was this, in that 1868, the chief of the Grand Army of the Republic, Lieutenant Colonel John Logan, called for an annual day called Decoration Day to be observed every May 30th, since that was considered the optimal time of bloom for flowers in the North. I think we still may be waiting for ours here. Now, this holiday, this Decoration Day, was often spearheaded by Christian women, so they included family reunions in there, as well as decorating the graves of deceased loved ones, in addition to those who had fallen in battle. And so it's been traditional to have speeches, parades, special Christian religious services. Those were common. And this this tradition of distributing these red poppies, you may have seen these, the American Legion does that each and every year. This happened immediately after World War I, is where the poppies come from. And some of you may know the famous poem by Canadian Lieutenant Colonel John McCree. He wrote the moving poem called In Flanders Field. Are you aware of this? He wrote this poem after burying a very dear friend, and he was amazed at how quickly the red poppies would grow over the graves in Flanders Fields, which is a part of Belgium. He wrote this: in Flanders Fields the poppies grow, beneath and between the crosses row on row, that mark our place, and in the sky the larks still bravely singing fly, scarce heard amidst the guns below. We are the dead, short days ago. We live, felt dawn, saw sunset glow. Loved and were loved, and now we lie in Flanders Fields. Take up your quarrel with the foe. To you who from falling hands we throw the torch, be yours to hold it high. If ye break faith with us who died, we shall not sleep, though poppies grow in Flanders Fields. And that's where that tradition comes from. So each Memorial Day, we remember those who have fallen in battle, And of course, that's the difference between Veterans Day. Veterans Day is for honoring living veterans. And we remember deceased loved ones while giving thanks to God. Because Memorial Day is ultimately a call to remember. It's also a day of giving solemn and sacred thanks to God and much gratitude. But I was surprised to find this out, actually. Certain veterans organizations, including the Veterans of Foreign Wars, VFW, a few other groups have actually petitioned the United States government to restore Memorial Day to the original May 30th of each year. And the reason for this is because now Memorial Day is part of a three-day weekend, sort of the entrance into summer. And so many people no longer celebrate Memorial Day as a call to remember, but rather a time to party and barbecue. And so there are actually veterans groups that want to move that back and has so far been unsuccessful. So similarly to Mother's Day and Father's Day, Memorial Day has been commercialized and much of its original meaning has been lost. But let me ask you a few opening questions this morning as we focus on this day and this weekend. Do we remember all those who have fallen in the fields of battle, have given their all? Is that even a category for us on Memorial Day? That's what it's really about. Do we take the time to remember our loved ones who have gone before us and have meant so much to us? And do we remember to give God thanks for all his benefits and the freedoms we enjoy? You know, we can take these things for granted, seriously. If you haven't traveled far afield, what we enjoy is rare. I can tell you this by personal experience. This stuff does not exist that we take for granted in much of the world today. You know, the price of forgetfulness is very steep, the Bible says. And as Americans, we are very forgetful, aren't we? Kind of like the time. When a little boy went with his family on Memorial Weekend Sunday to church service, the pastor saw this little boy, Johnny, staring up at a large plaque that hung in the church's foyer. The plaque was covered with names and small American flags mounted on either side of the plaque, and the little boy said, "Pastor, what is this?" "Well, son, it's a memorial to all the young men and women who died in the service," the pastor explained. And he was kind of mortified, and he stood there quietly staring at the plaque, and he finally got up the courage and said softly, "Pastor, which service, 9 a.m. or 10:30? Context matters, people. And so this idea of remembrance kind of attached to many other things. In one of our most recent life groups, we were reminded that the Christian life itself is meant to be downwardly mobile. Unlike what our society tells us, we need to remember that this fallen world and our advertising industry, can you imagine the advertising industry not existing? It's true in many parts of the world. They don't have this hard sell on us all the time. It works daily to convince us that the only life worth living is one that just kind of keeps moving up in the standards of the world. We are constantly told by our society that we have to be relevant, right? We have to be, somehow we are what we produce. And if you are what you produce, then what does that say about the value of children and the elderly as a Christian? A lot, I think. Somehow we have to be spectacular in everything we do. It has to be better and better. We have to be powerful as people. We've got to make a lot of money to get all the things that we want in life. And yet the Christian life, what does it say in the Bible? It's a life that conforms itself to its master, the Lord Jesus Christ. It's a life of remembrance, and it practically lives out the power and the example of Jesus Christ. The Christian life is simple, humble, and downwardly mobile. And when we live those kind of lives, we create space for the Holy Spirit to work. We become increasingly available to be used by God for his kingdom purposes. Now, I was also struck once again this week, as now the pandemic has been officially ended, I guess, but we can't help ourselves, so now everybody's worrying about monkeypox. You know, it's something else. See, we just can't help it, it seems. If I were to summarize the Old Testament in a single sentence, I would have to say something like this. The Old Testament prepares the way for Jesus Christ and is a constant call to remember God, right? If somebody asked me to summarize the Old Testament in a single word, if you could do such a thing, it would be this: remember. Remember. That's why some of the Bible stories in the Old Testament repeat themselves. I've heard this story before, because you're being called to remember, right? Isn't it true that most of us, and again, it's not just the children, that we get in the most trouble in life is because we have forgotten something that we were supposed to remember? Usually when we forget about God, that's when trouble automatically starts, right? Right, we're still feeling the consequences of Adam and Eve's failure to remember God. One thing is forbidden, not to consume the fruit, whatever the forbidden fruit is exactly. And Americans, we're particularly drawn to this sort of thing anyway. What's our preoccupation with forbidden things, right? Oftentimes when you say to someone, no, you can't do that, right? That's exactly when they've decided they're going to do it, right? Isn't that funny? Human nature. And it starts from the cradle, right? Think about, people talk about the innocence of children and youth. Well, yeah, to one degree, until you have a two-year-old. And then it's all out the door. You know, those of you who have had 2 years, why is it not just in America and in the English language, but in languages all around the world, what are the first two words that two-year-olds, spew from their mouths? No. Mine. It's not just us people. There's something about the human condition in people, right? Why is this? Because we don't want Jesus's way. We want it our way. Remember the old, we've talked about this before, the old Burger King commercials? They were famous for this in the 70s. Have it your way. Remember that one? I won't kill you with my singing. But you remember the video, right? We got to have it our way. God's given us free will. He will not make us, right? But we as Americans, we do not like to be told what to do. And we have lousy memories oftentimes that fail to remember that which we were supposed to never forget. Right? You see that with the appeals, right? Never forget for our MIAs and POWs. But often we have failed to remember. No wonder why we as Americans have failed to remember the significance of Memorial Day and what it really means, right? We're really busy people. We're distracted. And we're not the only ones who suffer from memory failure. This has been happening since the dawn of time, right? Leading us to our passage this morning. Just prior to his death in the conquest of the Promised Land, what did Moses say? He warned his people to always remember the Lord. Right? Moses' words, the Bible open, Matthew or Deuteronomy 28, right? If you fully obey the Lord your God and carefully follow all of his commands that I give you today, the Lord will set you high above the nations of the earth. These blessings will come upon you, they'll accompany you if you obey the Lord. You'll be blessed in the city, blessed in the country. Fruit of your womb will be blessed. The crops of your land will be blessed. The young of your livestock, the calves, the lambs, and so forth. Your basket, your kneading trough will even be blessed. You will be blessed when you come in and when you go out. But if you do not obey the Lord your God and you do not carefully follow all of his commandments that he has given us, there will be a curse. Right? A curse is upon you. Cursed in the city, cursed in the country. Your basket kneading trough will be cursed, said Moses. The fruit of your womb, the crops of your lands, the calves, the lambs of your flocks, you'll be cursed when you come in and cursed when you go out. You're like, ooh, that's pretty harsh. A life of disobedience cannot be blessed of God, can it? It just can't. It's written into the very fabric of things. If you've read your Bible, you know how all this turned out, right? Moses predicted what would happen to his people, Deuteronomy 31. For I know after my death, you are sure to become utterly corrupt and turn away from the things that I've commanded you. In the days to come, disaster will fall upon you because you do evil in the sight of the Lord. You provoke him to anger by what things your hands have made. Isn't that interesting? By the things that your hands have made, what do we value?
Well, you know, I'm not like those natives in Africa worshiping idols.
Oh, really? Can I ask a few questions? What do you worship? Right? Our money says in God we trust, right? You know that? But why is it we trust more in Ben Franklin than George Washington? I'll trust in the C notes. Yeah, I like those. A pocket full of George Washingtons just makes you a Michigan millionaire. It's not that impressive. That's what we call it back home. You know, yeah, I got a lot of ones. The point is that Moses says, there is blessing in following the Lord. You will curse yourself if you choose to disobey God and fail to remember him. When I lived in the city of Chicago, I always got a juvenile kick out of the black mothers. They didn't care. They'd throw down in the streets. And inevitably, there'd be a little boy doing something dumb, and his mother would just be whipping his behind all the way home. You know, did you lose your mind? Did you lose your mind? And the fact of the matter is the kid had lost his mind. He had forgotten something that he was supposed to do or something he was supposed to obey, and he was being disciplined for that. Some people are like, I can't believe in spanking. That's so awful. Really? Bible says, yeah, no, you don't beat your kids, but warming up their backside once in a while in Jesus' name is biblical. All right? But, you know, children are different. Like my wife, I think she got spanked once in her life. Evidently, they'd look cross at her and she'd cry, you know, and that seemed to work. Me, not so much. You know, I think you should mix it up as far as discipline goes with children anyway. I remember one time, I forgot what Zach did. It was something really bad in Chicago. And he was like, I guess I'm going to get a spanking now. I was like, no. No, we lose the Xbox for a week. He was like, what? I'm like, yeah, Xbox is gone. He's like, can I just get a spanking? I'm like, no, we mix it up in Jesus' name. It's much more effective this time. Hey, use what works. That's the idea in discipline. Anyway, as human beings, we have memory problems, right? Because we've forgotten or we have failed to remember things. But sometimes it's out of sheer and outright rebellion. I mean, isn't this a practical reason why we come to church? Isn't that an old-fashioned habit? Oh, you're going to church. Oh, the holy rollers or whatever. You know, we go to church for a reason. Isn't that one of the reasons why we read our Bibles? You know, if you need a good Bible, they're back there. We invest in really good Bibles, and we give them away for free for a reason. Isn't that why daily prayer is so important in our lives? So that we remember and do not forget, right? That's why the last thing Moses did before he died was to compose a long song. You may have not seen this, Deuteronomy 32, and he made the people memorize it, right? So that they would remember God's great deeds and not forget the Lord. Music is so powerful, isn't it? A.W. Tozer called it lyric theology. Can you sing your faith? I didn't say if you're a good singer or anything, but can you sing your faith? Another reason why we fail to remember the Lord is our bad habit of being grossly enslaved to the idolatry of materialism, right? Again, we're not the only ones who have struggled with that throughout history. God's people arrived in the promised land finally, and guess what? They became greedy and covetousness of the local inhabitants' stuff, right? This happens all the time, right? This is one of the reasons why God commanded the stuff to be destroyed. If you've read the book of Joshua and Judges, remember this curious fellow, if you've read Judges, Judges 7, Achan's sin, you remember that one? Mm-hmm. Perfect example. Judges 7, Achan replied, it's true, I've sinned against the Lord, the God of Israel. This is what I have done, confession. When I saw in the plunder a beautiful robe from Babylonia, 200 shekels of silver and a wedge of gold weighing 50 shekels, I coveted them and I took them. Right? Could you still be honest if you knew you could get away with something and no one would ever know? Cash registers open in a store and there's no security cameras and the person is in back for some reason. Ooh, would you be honest? Would you be honest? Would that temptation overtake you? See, Achan is an example of someone who's just bedazzled by stuff, and he disobeyed God, forgetting God's commands to remember certain things. It ultimately cost him and his family's lives. Now, a few years ago, I was introduced to this idea and this concept, and this may be helpful for some, called the Diderot effect. Anyone know what the Diderot effect is? Diderot effect. I think it warrants a retelling. So this is Denis Diderot, famous French philosopher. He helped to write the famous French encyclopedia at the time, and yet a very brilliant man, but he lived most of his life in poverty, and he couldn't provide a dowry for his daughter who was about to be married. But then something changed in his life in 1765. At the age of 52, everything changed. So the Empress of Russia, Catherine the Great, heard of Diderot's predicament. She so loved his work and his encyclopedias, she actually offered to buy his personal library for $50,000 at that time. How much would 50 grand be worth in 1765? Now, all of a sudden, Denis Diderot, Dr. Diderot, went from poverty to riches suddenly, right? We see this sort of effect with young athletes or people who win the lottery, right? Most of you are like, you know, Lord, if you just let me win the lottery, I'd give the church 10%. I really would. I would be responsible. It's like, probably not. You know, most people who win the lottery, millions of dollars, and they're on TV, woo, between 18 and 24 months, about 80 to 90% of them got nothing. I just had to have the yacht. The yacht, you didn't own a rowboat the day before, but you got to have a yacht now. What is it with us? Well, Denis Diderot all of a sudden went from poverty to riches. He had money to spare. Immediately after his change of luck, he became like Achan. Of Bible fame. The first thing he got was a beautiful scarlet robe. And that's when everything went south in Diderot's life. His robe was so beautiful that he began to notice how it looked so out of place amidst all of his other possessions. Have you ever experienced this? You buy one new thing and you put it next to the others, and you're like, ooh, that doesn't look good, right? Here's how it goes. So then he began to covet other things. What's the 10th commandment? Thou shalt not covet in your heart. All kinds of things. So he began to covet things. He had the urge to buy new things that would look at home with his new beautiful scarlet robe. So he got rid of his old rug and he replaced it with a really costly rug, hand-woven rug from Damascus, Syria. You ever seen the Middle Eastern rugs? They're gorgeous, gorgeous, handmade. He began to decorate his home with beautiful sculptures, an expensive kitchen table. Back in the day when they were really expensive because they had to apply the silver on it, beautiful new mirror above his mantle, right? And then he's like, I got this straw chair. I really need a leather one, you know? Get one from Florence, that beautiful Italian leather. So over time, these reactionary purchases have been called the Diderot effect. How does this play out in your own life, do you think? Online writer James Clear says this: the Diderot effect states that obtaining a new possession often creates a spiral of consumption in our lives that leads us to want to acquire more new stuff. As a result, we end up buying things that our previous selves never needed to feel happy or fulfilled. Isn't that interesting? When you get into a spending mode, you buy more and more, and you're all of a sudden less and less happy. Isn't that weird? You're like, that doesn't apply to me. I just like buying stuff, Jim. Well, okay, maybe, right? But more often than not, the desire for a beautiful scarlet robe resulted in the death of Achan and his family, and it reduced Diderot to the catch-22 of both physical and spiritual poverty. Excuse me. They both forgot what they were supposed to remember. That's why Memorial Day should be an important day for us as Christians. It's a time to slow down, to stop and remember those who have fallen in battle, as well as remembering the deceased of our own families, lest we forget. This lure of more and more stuff, the upwardly mobile lifestyle, breakneck pace of life, the insistence on having it our own way, the temptation to bow before the idol of materialism, are all real obstacles and threats for our memory, remembering what we're never supposed to forget. So I started off with these questions I ask you once again. Will you, this weekend, remember those who gave their all on the field of battle? Will you remember loved ones who have given their life for all of you and us? Will you remember God's commands and thank him for all his benefits and freedoms that you enjoy? We have so much to be grateful for. And when we no longer have a spirit of gratitude, we are in trouble. And when we aren't thankful, we have forgotten, right? Right. The Bible says that there are two ways before us: remember and be blessed, or forget and be cursed. Because remember, the price of forgetfulness is really spiritually steep, and we as Christians can scarcely afford it, lest we forget. And so this morning I want to wish you and yours a very happy Memorial Day, or as they say in Canada, in the British Commonwealth, they say, have a very happy Remembrance Day. Amen? Let's pray. Father in heaven, we come before you this morning confessing that so often we forget your blessings. We become ungrateful, narrow in our thinking. And so we repent of that. We say thank you, Lord. We thank you for those who have offered the ultimate sacrifice of their lives on the field of battle for our freedoms. Thank you for dear loved ones who have gone before us and who have invested in our lives. And thank you, Lord, for the reminder from your word to remember you and never forget. And Lord, we just thank you for this beautiful weekend. We thank you for the freedoms we enjoy, and we pray all this in Jesus' name, saying, amen. Amen.